Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA, because there is a super wild card weekend coming up. I don't care if they don't officially call it super anymore. It is because the Steelers are in it. Welcome in to Cabali and Mac alongside longtime Steelers reporter, correspondent for the Pat McAfee Show, Mark Cabali. I'm Chris Mac. Good morning, friends, yinzers, countrymen. Make sure you're following on all your social media at Cabali and Mac. That includes X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, all of it. Of course, make sure you've subscribed on YouTube and turned on those notifications so you don't miss a thing. We've got a little bit extra time this week to prepare because the wild card game against the Houston Texans is at home on Monday night, a place where the Pittsburgh Steelers have not lost on Monday night at home since 1991. To the New York Football Giants, I think it was. Jeff Hostetler, maybe, at Three River Stadium. It's been a while, is the point. The Steelers win on Monday nights, but this is a playoff game, kaboom. And the Steelers haven't had a home playoff game in 5 years. Let's not talk about that one against the Browns. Nobody was in the building anyway, really. And they haven't won a home playoff game in 9 years against the Miami Dolphins and backup quarterback Matt Moore. I still remember them dragging his carcass off the field at one point and then rolling him back out there to finish the game. Last home playoff win over a starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers, 15 years ago in the AFC Championship game against Joe Flacco and the Baltimore Ravens. So here we are, a chance to break a lot of trends, kaboom, and win a playoff game and move forward to the divisional round. Anything is possible now.
Was that a question?
No, I said anything is possible, right?
Sure, it's possible. It's win or go home, right?
I mean, it was last week.
No, they're already home, so.
Shut up, they're already home this week, too. Don't get into the semantics. It's win or your season is done, and we're talking about coming up on a decade without a playoff win. So
why do you have to focus on the negative? You should be like Tomlin.
I didn't focus on the negative. I just said anything is possible. The world is their oyster. And look, for what it's worth, Mike Tomlin, he's not going to put it on the players, right?
Seasons. What would a win on Monday mean to this organization?
You know, it's not about the organization or myself. It's about this collective. And quite frankly, most of these men don't care about the last whatever years that you mentioned. Most of them are new to us. And so that's where my focus is. I'm certainly not going to, unpack my bags on the collector's bed, if you will.
He's not going to unpack his bags on their bed.
The collective's bed.
The collective's bed.
He's got a point.
He's got a point. The only two guys that are on this roster now that were on the roster, that have been on the roster throughout this thing, really, are Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt. So
not even, I don't think.
T.J. wasn't even here for the last playoff.
He wasn't here for the Miami win.
He was not?
Yeah, you know, Boswell and Hayward are the only two guys that have been here throughout the collective. So you think that, he got a point. He doesn't want to bring that to the forefront and, alert some of these guys. I'm sure some of them know, and I'm sure some of them don't care or don't care to know that they haven't won a playoff game in nearly a decade. I'm sure they'll hear about it this week coming up, but it matters not. Half the team turned over from last year. Three quarters of the team probably turned over from 2 years ago. So the only thing that's been remained constant is the owners, the fans, and the head coach.
Yeah, and the fans will happily point out to you that the coach has remained the one constant over the last 9 years. But to your point, the last time this team won a playoff game, I'd venture a guess that most of these guys were in middle school or high school. Most of the guys on this roster. Right. Yeah, that's just simple math. Most of them are in their mid-20s. Right. Yeah. So they were in middle school or high school the last time the Steelers won a playoff game. That, like you said, matters not to what happens on Monday night. It's about, and Tomlin repeated this, it's about focusing on the Houston Texans and that team specifically. And that's how they'll prepare for this thing. So we can get into some of the stuff that I think is worth talking about. We'll have Steelers PA announcer Larry Richard on today. Obviously, one of our new compadres at One Team Media as well. So, a brother in arms, as it were. I just know that every time I hear third down, it's in Larry's voice.
And then you hear the...
Or that's a Pittsburgh Steelers first down.
He does the introductions, too.
He does all of it. He's the PA
now. Wisconsin. Outside linebacker, T.J. Watt.
Yeah, and like I said, a part of the One Team Media family that we have joined.
You think he does it in front of a mirror?
No, you can't do it in front of a mirror because it doesn't matter what your face looks like. Nobody's seen that. Okay. That's one of those practice it in the shower type deals or in the car when you're by yourself.
So he's at home getting ready for the morning show saying, first down, Steelers.
No, that's not how it goes. Come on. This is why it requires practice. That's a Pittsburgh Steelers. First down.
Does he say Don?
He doesn't really say Don. He doesn't really say much of all there because the crowd says it for him.
He needs to.
But on third down, you got to practice that one. You got to have that one timed up and ready to go. It's third down. And,
does he do fourth down?
He has done fourth. I've heard him drop that in a couple of times. Okay. Yeah. He's a true professional. And like I said, a member of the One Team Media family that we have recently joined. He does Offset with Larry and the Big Man, which is him and Jay Caulfield. And he's been doing it for a long time. He's a legend in Pittsburgh radio, in Pittsburgh media. Let's be honest, Larry Richard. Years on the KDK TV morning news. Now years on KDKA radio doing their morning show, and he's a trusted voice in Pittsburgh media, so we're excited to have him on in just a little bit.
All right, great. Yippee. What do you want me to say?
What the hell kind of reaction is that?
Well, I see Larry every Monday.
I see Larry all the time too. We're co-workers at Odyssey. So now he's there much earlier in the day than I am. So we don't bump into each other a lot unless there's a big, company-wide meeting or something. But I see Larry a good bit. And so I'm excited to have him on. And right. I thought I would get more than a great yippee.
I had a rough night, so just leave me alone.
Oh, okay. You all right? A little intestinal distress?
Explosive.
Okay. All right. Don't know.
I don't know how explosive.
Okay.
Put it this way.
This is between you and your dude wipes. Okay. No,
this is the problem. It was the middle of the night, and I went looking for the Pepto, and there was only like a little swig of it. That doesn't work. I have to go get some more Pepto.
All right. So you're in fine working order.
That Pepto is good, though. Let me tell you. I only took a mouthful, and it settled it down some, but I need good. To, you know.
Good to hear. Eat some right. bread, okay?
No, I think it's bananas, right?
Bread, bananas, yeah. Whatever they call it. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what to do. You're a grown-ass man. You can figure this out on your own.
If you see me running and just disappear, or my if it all of a sudden goes like this,
yeah,
you'll know why.
Oh, my God. As long as there's no audio accompanying it, we'll be fine. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show. They've been fantastic on board since the very beginning. You want to get your furnace checked out. I know it's warming up over the weekend, but it'll get cold again. This is
Monday.
Pittsburgh winter.
Monday, it's supposed to be warm all week. Then on Monday, yep. Bang.
Like, welcome to the playoffs. Here we go. Bring on the indoor team to Heinz Field for a cold Monday night game. If it's cold in your house, get it checked out. Impact HVAC will do the work. Message them on Facebook at Impact HVAC PGH, or just give them a call, 412-297-1852. We appreciate it. Just maybe don't call during the game on Monday night, unless it's an absolute emergency, because we're all going to be busy. Are you going to let your kids stay up and watch the game on Monday night? I've debated this.
Nah, he's too young. He wants to, but he's not staying up. I mean, the game starts at what? I don't even know. 8:20?
8:15-ish, yeah.
Nah, he won't watch it. But he said the other day, I'm too nervous. Like, you haven't watched the game all year. What makes you nervous right now?
See, I thought about this because on one hand, I let my son stay up until like the fourth quarter of the Ravens game. And then I told him he had to go to bed. And the Steelers had the lead at that point, so I didn't want him to stay up to watch them lose anyway if it was going to end up going down that way. But I look at it this way also. Like, he has basketball practice at like 9 o'clock. By the time he's done with that and gets home and gets showered and gets to bed, it's basically 11 o'clock anyway, and this game's going to go to like 11:15, 11:30. So is it really that big of a difference?
Hey, that's what makes you a good parent.
I guess. I might let him stay up for it anyway. I don't know. I think the kids should have a two-hour delay on Tuesday. I think the entire Pittsburgh area should have a two-hour delay on Tuesday.
You know, now the question is, will they have Black and Gold Friday or Black and Gold Monday?
Both. Hmm. No messing around. It's the playoffs, man. Both.
Playoffs. Here we go. Yeah, did you hear the Roger Wood song? Man, the guy's made a living on changing three words in the song every year.
It's beautiful. It's
just
beautiful.
Three words.
He's got Rogers and Metcalf and Ramsey in this year's edition. I was going to play it during maybe Friday. We'll kick back and enjoy a little bit of the Roger Wood Here We Go song, the updated version. But I mentioned the Ravens game. John Harbaugh got fired. That's done. That's over with. You shocked by that at all?
No. You saw that one coming for a while, man. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, I even said before, they were like, you always ask a million times who you think has a better chance of getting fired. I'd be like, Harbaugh. I mean, I'm sure it's going to come on. I really haven't kept up with it. There's probably some disconnect between, you know, the head coach, the quarterback, the offensive coordinator. And well, who like you choose then? Who you choose then? You choose the quarterback. The quarterback not happy, make quarterback happy. Period.
Well, it sounds like there was a disconnect about the assistant coaching staff, that they wanted to clear out most of those guys. I imagine Lamar probably had a good bit to do with the idea of pushing the offensive guys out, or at least would sign off on something like that. And Harbaugh didn't want to make any major changes, just wanted to make some minor tweaks to his staff. And so they said, you know what, John? It's been nice. We appreciate your service over the last 18 years, but I think we've reached the end of the road. And now it sounds like he could be Giants coach by the end of the week.
Yeah, it could be. Could be. Why can't he do TV too, right?
Hey, does he seem like a TV guy to you? Wow, he's a little dry.
Well, Tomlin doesn't seem like a TV guy to me.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Mike Tomlin would thrive in a studio atmosphere.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes.
I disagree.
Mark,
He's even said it publicly before that that doesn't interest him. But all of a sudden, now it does interest him?
Well, of course, if he said it interested him, then he knows people would go nuts. Be like, oh, Mike Tomlin said he wants to do TV.
Well, you think he cares about that? No, I don't think he'd be any good, sorry.
I think he would be.
No.
In a studio show? Definitely. I'm not telling him to go up in the booth and be a color commentator. No,
only thing that would probably attract him to that is probably like $25 million to work once a week, sort of like you.
More like $25 period to work a couple times a week. No, I think he'd be great at it. But we're not talking about him. We're talking about Harbaugh.
He's gone.
He's too dry. I don't think he'd be any good on TV.
I'm sorry, man. If it's like, hey, I want you to get rid of the offensive coordinator, or, you know, I'm gone. I'm going to see an offensive coordinator. It's not like they haven't turned over that staff every single year for the past decade, it seems like. Somebody else is different there. Last year, they changed over a bunch of people as well, plus some have left. So there's more to the story, and I think the story is basically is Lamar was over it.
That's what I would think. Lamar's still in his prime, and I don't think that they wanted to take any more chances with what's left of the prime of Lamar Jackson's career, right? Like, that's what it boils down to. They want to try and maximize what they have left with Lamar, and they don't think Harbaugh was the right guy to do that. So that doesn't surprise me at all. Not at all that that's the way it went. So that is officially done. They have moved on from John Harbaugh in Baltimore. It'll be interesting to see what direction they go. I don't know. This whole head coaching cycle doesn't seem very inspiring. Like, I don't think there's any Ben Johnsons or Mike McDonalds out there that are going to instantly jump in and make teams better than they were right off the bat.
Where did Mike McDonald coach a couple years ago?
Baltimore. Yep. So that worked out for him.
Brian Flores, right? Isn't he the
leader
in the clubhouse?
I heard
number one guys.
Is he? I don't know. I heard rumors yesterday that the Cowboys were going to call him about a defensive coordinator position. That's a lateral move for him. And does he want to go deal with all the BS in Dallas?
I wonder if his contracts if his contract's up, he can do what he wants.
True,
but if his contract's still intact here for another year, they don't have to allow him to go interview for that job, Minnesota. It's a lateral move. They could just put the kibosh on that. But I would imagine his contract is up is why he was talking about potentially being his last game the other day or a couple weeks ago.
I mean, if things don't go well for the Steelers in the playoffs, like if it's an ugly one loss and done, Terrell Austin could still be on the chopping block. And I don't know if Flores would have interest in coming back here to take over that role, but he seemed to get along well with the organization when he was here.
Yeah, I don't think he had much of responsibilities, but
it worked well for him while he was here. He seemed to, like I said, seemed to get along with everybody.
I would think that would be more Raheem Morris or something like that, because him and Tomlin are BFFs. But we're way out ahead of our skis.
Yeah, we are. Right? We're getting the cart ahead of the horse again, talking about off-season maneuvers. Thanks to our good friends at Higgins Professional Painting for supporting the show. You got some work you need to get done in the house? Call them. They'll get it done. They'll do the drywall repair before they get a fresh coat of paint on a room, a few rooms, the whole house, the outside of the house. They do it all. You own your own business. They do commercial and industrial work as well, and they've been doing it for 40 years since Don Higgins founded the business here in the Pittsburgh area. Trusted local folks to come in your home and do a fantastic job. They've already done some work at Mark's house, going to do more. Eventually, when they're done with the palatial Cabali estate, maybe I'll get them over here to do some work. But you want them in your house to get it done. Go to HigginsProfessional.com or just give them a call at 412-344-0480, and they'll get you a free estimate today.
This is the time of the year, right? New year. Everybody wants some paint. Everybody wants to clean some carpets.
Yep. My wife's got new furniture, new stuff for the dining room that we were putting together till like 9:30 last night.
I don't do that stuff.
Oh, it's the worst.
I don't do that.
These massive cabinets to put in the dining room, and
is the Christmas stuff gone already?
Yeah, Christmas stuff was all packed up and put away last weekend. We got that done and over with. We're not screwing around.
Well, today is actually Christmas Day.
The old, I thought it was yesterday.
The Orthodox calendar on January 7th. Come on.
Oh, you know, why'd I think the 6th? Anyway.
Because you ain't a hunky.
Because I ain't some Orthodox hunky who celebrates Christmas a week into January. You're right.
It's just like the probably the largest, one of the largest religions in the world, but go ahead and make fun of it.
I'm not making fun. I joke all the time. We have good friends that live up the street. They're Serbian. They're Orthodox. And they celebrate their Christmas, this time of year, every single year. You'll drive by their house and they got a ton of people over and you're like, what's going on? Oh yeah, that's right. It's their Christmas. So
yeah.
So, let's talk about what the Steelers can do offensively. I was going back and looking at some of the conversations. Score points would be good. Yeah. I was going back and perusing through some of the conversation we had late Sunday night, early Monday morning. And I made the point about Rodgers looking more comfortable when they go tempo. And you said very wisely, I'm giving you credit. Yeah, imagine what they can do with DK back. So DK back is the biggest addition this week, obviously. They've started to actually fold in Freiermuth a good bit over the last several weeks. We've seen what Gainwell and Warren are capable of. Calvin Austin, big touchdown catch. This goes back to something we did kind of touch on Sunday night, Monday morning. They've got the weapons available. The question for me on Monday night will be, can they keep Rodgers clean enough to utilize all those weapons? Because the Texans pass rush is a beast.
Yeah, they've been pretty good. I mean, there's been 6 or 7 sacks or 8 sacks over the last 7 games. And even when the sacks happen, they're not like huge sacks. I mean, I think the average sack loss is like 6 yards per play or 5 yards per play. It's going to be a lot of the same stuff. You got to get rid of the ball quickly. I mean, that's nothing new. And that's not going to change this week either. I mean, you're going to have to pick and choose who you want to chip, who you want to help.
Well, that's the thing, is this isn't like a Myles Garrett game where you can focus a lot of attention on one guy. Anderson and Hunter are both top 10 in the league in sacks. So it's kind of like pick your poison.
Yeah, but you would have to believe that you like what Troy Fulton has been able to do over this year, and you would much rather have him on the island, so to speak, I would imagine. They do flip him, but not very much. So I would imagine that's the case. But this offensive line has been playing extremely well, especially that right side of the line. So I don't know if this is a game where they're just going to totally crap the bed just because, you know, they got 2 pretty good edge rushers on the other team here. I think it helps a ton that Metcalf's back, able to take Stingley away potentially. If you're just going to put Stingley on DK, then it should open up a lot of other things. But DK's going to have to make some plays as well. They're going to probably have to play their best game. I think it goes without saying, but I just like where the offensive line's been or where they're going and how they're playing, the confidence they've had, and the quarterback helping out the offensive line by getting rid of the ball quickly, putting in plays that, you know, that doesn't make it difficult for them to block certain guys. So,
well, I do have a concern, though, that it – now, look, the Cleveland game was an outlier because A, Garrett, and B, no Metcalf. So it is an outlier. But I do worry that if they get too preoccupied with trying to get the ball out quick, that you're not going to see anything downfield.
But isn't that what – first of all, isn't DK a catch-and-run guy? Mm-hmm. And second of all, isn't
best catch-and-run team in the league this year.
I mean, they've been throwing the ball in 2.5 seconds all season. Why would it change now? It's just where their success is.
It feels like they've gotten away from some of the play action stuff, though. Not completely, but like we haven't seen as much of it, which, you know, Rodgers at least looks to me like he thrives. When he gets, you know, he just looks like classic quarterback, good play action fake, tucks it, you know. Turns away, turns his back to the defense for a second, opens up, and before you know it, he hits someone downfield. And we haven't seen as much of that lately, maybe because of DK's absence.
Or maybe you don't want to turn your back to that defense all the time. I mean, they've done play actions, if you want to call it play action, from the shotgun thumb. They do it a lot of times when they do some sort of waggles or where he gets outside of the pocket, but I don't know. If you're going to play action, which means you need extra time, that's what you might not want to go down that route much at all. It's going to be a defensive battle. I mean, I don't know how sold I am on how well this Houston offense is going to play.
Yeah, I think that's a good question, too. For what it's worth, the Texans are fourth in the league in yards per game defensively allowed on the ground, only 94 yards a game allowed on the ground. So if the Steelers can't get the run game going, and then you become one-dimensional, and Hunter and Anderson pin their ears back, as well as the offensive line has played, that could spell disaster. I think the Steelers, I want to say 6-4 this year, something like that, in games where Rodgers has been sacked multiple times. So clearly, keeping Rodgers clean is the priority here against these two guys. It's just a matter of how you're going to do it. On the other side of the ball, like you said, the Texans' offense is fairly underwhelming, right? Like, there's Nico Collins and what? They only have
Schultz. The tight end. They've played well against tight ends recently, so. But well, how many catches? Doesn't he lead the team in catches? I'm pretty sure he does.
That's a good question. Let's look it up.
I'm pretty sure he leads the team in catches, so. But they've done well against tight ends. Yeah, he has 82 catches this year.
Yeah.
He has a Jonnu Smith stat line from last year. So they like to get rid of that. Maybe C.J. Stroud. I mean, it didn't seem like Tomlin was too impressed with him yesterday.
Jaden Higgins has popped up in the back half of the year, too. Young wide receiver. So, but I think it comes – here's someone I don't think we've given
Kirk
nearly enough credit to, especially – I'd say all season long, but especially in the back third of the season or so. Joey Porter Jr. has been impeccable. Like, we haven't seen any flags.
He had one the other day, but they picked it up, obviously.
Yeah, I mean,
because it was a touchdown.
I think he's played incredibly well.
Yes,
and
yes.
Especially given what we saw last year when it felt like maybe, you know, after two steps forward, he took a step back. I mean, if he can not eliminate Nico Collins, but just neutralize him. You know, so that Collins doesn't go off for, like, you know, I don't know, 6 catches and 95 yards and a touchdown. If he can neutralize Collins, that really puts the Texans in a tough spot because they can't run the ball very well. They'll happily hand it off to Marks and Chubb, but they're only averaging like 3.9 yards a carry. I think they're bottom 3 in the league in yards per carry.
Yeah, Woody Marks. I don't know if he scares too many people either.
No.
When you have a fullback named British as his first name, that's kind of interesting as well. Yeah, I mean, their offensive line isn't the best in the world either. I mean, they got Trent Brown, but Trent Brown is Trent Brown. You know, they got Titus Howard, but they have a rookie left tackle. I mean, they're flawed. But, you know, like I said about C.J. Stroud put it this way. If Aaron Rodgers does not sign next year and retires and the Steelers are looking for a quarterback, look for him to go after Davis Mills after waxed poetic about him yesterday. He didn't really go into depth about C.J. Stroud, but Davis Mills. Oh, Davis Mills. So maybe Tomlin.
Captain Neck.
Maybe Tomlin doesn't really think C.J. Stroud is that guy. C.J. Stroud.
Well, I thought it was
one of the main reasons why they started the season 0-3.
Like, I thought it was interesting that when he was asked about Stroud specifically and like any pre-draft evaluations of him when he came out,
he wasn't going into it. No.
He was basically like, "Yeah, I didn't pay attention to him." I'm at Ohio State's pro day. I'm not looking at a quarterback if we don't need a quarterback. I looked at everybody else. So that part was interesting to me. But yeah, he didn't seem very complimentary of Stroud. I don't know. Maybe he's downplaying it on purpose. Maybe.
I don't know. Well, sort of like, yeah, Anthony Richardson. But, hey, we don't want to get him hurt because then they put Flacco in. You know, another thing is you think of C.J. Stroud and say, boy, he can really run the ball. Not really.
He's not a runner, no.
He's not really that much of a runner. I mean, he's probably averages, what, about 20-some yards per game? So
I mean, he can get out and move if he has to, but he's not going to – this isn't Lamar.
He's not Lamar.
Yeah.
I mean, this team is kicker, defense. I mean, that's how they win games. And Nico Collins.
Yeah, Nico Collins. And that's why, like I said, if Joey Porter Jr. continues to play as well as he has over, like, the last 6 weeks – I think they're in a good spot to neutralize
him. He's hammering him too. Put me on him. I mean, last week he was on Zay Flowers some, but they were switching up. One thing they can't do is allow these breaks in the back half of the.
You can't. I think a lot of that had to do with a preoccupation with Lamar. But yeah, you can't let guys run free.
I found that interesting, though. Hey, I think it's Lamar's fault. No, I think it's leaving the guy running wide open and Kyle Duggar and Jalen Ramsey and some of those guys not on the same freaking page. I think that had a little bit to do with it.
You think maybe just a little? Thanks to our good friends, the Dan Heck team, for supporting the show. They've been fantastic and on board since the very beginning. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They'll look to make it as stress-free as possible for you. Go check out the listings at heckteamhomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. The whole team, they're ready to help you find the perfect home, get moved from the old place into the new place, whatever you need, they take care of you. And like I said, hopefully take some of the stress out of what is usually a very stressful situation, buying a new home or selling one as well. We appreciate their support here on Kabali and Mac. Kaboom. You know what time it is.
It's time.
Time for a Pittsburgh legend to join us. Whoa. Ladies and gentlemen, it's third
down. Wait. We don't want to hear it from you.
No, we
don't. We want to hear from Larry.
It's third down.
There's the horn.
You ever think about saying Dan instead of down?
I might naturally say it without thinking about it, but never consciously.
This is awesome to have Larry Richard. Of course, you know him from his years in Pittsburgh media on the KDK TV morning news for years, on KDK radio, anchoring their morning show now for years, but also the Pittsburgh Steelers PA announcer, also co-host of Offset with Larry and the big men, Larry Richard and Jay Caulfield. We're now part of the same big family at One Team Media with the shows that we're doing, and we appreciate him taking some time today. You guys have had a big time lately, by the way. I saw Danny Marino in there. I saw some Mark Recchi. You've had some big-time guests, my friend.
Yeah, we had Brett Kiesel. We've had Mike Ruzzioni as we get ready for Winter Olympics, believe it or not, the captain of the gold medal 80 team, as you guys know. We've also had Frank Caliendo, who's a great impressionist. He did his John Madden for us, and then his John Gruden. You know, he actually did two games where he did the game speech to the team. Now, these were preseason games, but they gave him the game ball. He's got two of them from back in the Raiders days. He said, do you realize how upset some players would be? They spent their whole career playing football and never got a game ball. And he said, I got two. So, yeah, we've had a lot of fun. I want to thank Brian Hess, the mastermind behind One Team Media and also the Pavement Group. And I got to say his name at the game on Sunday night because they're part of the sponsorship team and they help Charlie Batch's Best of the Batch. You know, if you're in Pittsburgh, you guys know this. You're a half person from everybody.
Everybody knows everybody.
Congratulations on both of you doing this. Kabali and Mac on One Team Media.
It's big time. It's big time, Lair.
Now maybe we can make it look a little bit better than Mac just pulling clip art off his 88 Atari computer.
Look, you posted a picture the other night. I don't even remember what it was of, but it looked like you downloaded it via AOL dial-up in 1996.
Okay? iPhone, hit the button, and say, share photo. That's all I did.
Yeah. So you're not exactly much more technologically advanced than me there, big guy.
Yeah.
Well, one of the commitments that I'm making in the new year is to find a way to use artificial intelligence. You know, the apps like Grok and Gemini and ChatGPT somehow to advance some way, shape, or form what I'm doing in the new year. I want to help AI help me.
Help AI.
Put it this way. I know somebody who can do that very well, and you mentioned his name, Brian Heck. We were out there, and 2 seconds after we were there, somehow he pulled up a picture of me and made me look like a clown. You remember that, Mac?
Yes. It took him 30 seconds to have Kabbalion clown makeup on a big screen.
Well, somebody tweeted me a picture of myself like a clown. He goes, hey, watch this. And I was like, blah, 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 send it back to him. I'm like, better not.
Look at you two. I mean, Chris, you're now a country music star and legend on one hand, a sports guy, and then look at Mark Starr rising, you know, with his connection to that famous guy from Pittsburgh, from Plum.
How about that?
That's huge. And the fact that, how did you two get together to do this?
That's a good question.
Yeah, how the hell did that happen?
He wouldn't even leave. He would leave me alone, so he just kept bugging me.
Yeah.
I said, okay, and this is how it happened, Larry. I said, you do all the work, and I'll just show up.
And then
that's a good partnership.
It started. It was seriously a year ago, Larry. I was sitting there watching. I had bugged Kaboom, like he said a couple of times, about, hey, you know, we should do a podcast together. We should do it. We talked about it a couple times over the years, but we both worked for companies that weren't aligned and stuff. And so I remember sitting there watching the Ravens playoff game last year, and I just texted him. I was like, hey, we should do a podcast tomorrow. He's like, all right, whatever, sure. And the next day we did the first one, and here we go, almost a year in now. I have no idea why people – well, I know why people find Kaboom entertaining when he's awake. I have no idea why the two of us together are as entertaining as people seem to think we are. But we appreciate everyone watching. We appreciate everyone supporting the show. Appreciate your kind words. Yeah. And definitely Brian Hess and everybody at One Team Media supporting the show, too.
But Larry, you're a podcaster. Did you ever think that would happen?
Listen, guys, I've been in the business long enough where when I first came to KDK Radio, I actually did the midday show when we were still playing music and we still had turntables in the studio. And the music, not all of it was on turntables then, but we had the option if necessary. But we used to use, remember, 8-track tapes, those cartridges.
Yep.
All the songs or the commercials were on those cartridges, these 8-track tapes, which were so cumbersome. And, you know, technology has brought us a long way. So I'm much more comfortable. We don't play music anymore on KDK Radio as I enter my 25th year doing the morning show.
What would you be playing? If you got 4 songs in an hour, all right, we'll just ask you for 1 hour of music. What would Larry Richard be playing?
Led Zeppelin. You want a specific song?
Yeah, give me something good. Give me something that gets me amped up for the game. Like when you're sitting in the press box,
getting
ready
for the game. Well,
for a game, for an hour of radio, for whatever.
You know, I love the pump up music. It does make a difference in the fan base. You know, I don't select the music they play at Acrisure. There's a whole team. First of all, there's a gentleman named Chris Burns. He's been there for a decade.
He's my neighbor.
Is he really?
He's my neighbor. Yes.
He is the quintessential professional. He truly is. Now, this is a full-time job, what he does with the Steelers. They work all year to put all the videos, the ribbons, the pump-up music, everything that goes into that. There's 60 people that are involved in the scoreboard team, and their purpose, their mission, is to support the team on the field by pumping up the fan base and enhancing Steelers fans' experience. And I sit right next to him during the game, and we have the windows open where the PA booth is, so that you get a feel for what's going on. And, you know, the amount of effort and work that goes into that. And I think I think that scoreboard team helped make a difference. And the fans were incredible Sunday night. They really were. They showed up, and it was cold, as you guys know, and they stayed. And they got the payoff. And after the game, walking to the car, I hadn't experienced that after a Steelers game in Pittsburgh for a long time. That was like old school.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm really curious to see how wild the vibe is on Monday night. First home playoff game with people actually in the building in 9 years. Like, we're not, you know, you grow up in Pittsburgh, you kind of think of playoff games as a birthright, you know? And to think of the fact that there hasn't been one played down there with fans actually in the building in almost a decade is wild.
Yeah, 2017 was the last home playoff game. Mm-hmm. But how do you guys feel about ending wild card weekend on Monday night?
I'm personally a fan.
Because I won't go to bed till about 6 a.m.
You don't sleep anyway. I don't know why you're complaining. See, I like it because, it is a long weekend to build up, and there's going to be a lot of anticipation that, you know, it just eats at you after a while. Would it be nicer if it were Saturday afternoon and it were the first game out of the way? Maybe. But I don't know if the atmosphere would be the same. I think there's going to be so much nervous energy and anticipation in the building amongst the fans. And you consider the Steelers' history at home on Monday night. They haven't lost a game at home on a Monday night in 35 years. Like, I just think the energy is going to be off the charts. You talked about what it was like Sunday night, Larry. I think Monday night's going to be bananas.
Yeah, I agree. With the Texans, we've never played them in the playoffs, and to have them at home, and I know they're a great defense. They've just won 9 in a row. They're feeling good. They're trending. But I just got this feeling that maybe, just maybe, and then if the Steelers find a way to win, and as you guys know, they're already home dogs again, which I kind of like that, and I think the players like being, you know, underdogs in this case too. But if they find a way to win, as you know, depending on what happens over the weekend, they could host another home game.
Yeah, very easily. You know, Larry, since you're in that room all the time and with the entertainment, I'm sure the Renegade has been brought up to you every once in a while. I know a lot of people, some people are saying it's ran its course. I'm not one of those guys. I view Renegade right now as sort of like the terrible towel. It's just part of the Steelers' history. Where do you come down on Renegade?
Well, you saw after they played it early in the fourth quarter on Sunday night, the fans went absolutely nuts. I saw even the Ravens were looking up at the screen, and they were kind of getting a kick out of it too. I think you're right, Mark. You kind of hit the nail. If you think it's going to work every time where there's going to be a turnover, and for those that don't know, it's played before the defense takes the field, usually in the fourth quarter, usually when it's critical, and it was critical then. But the Ravens ended up scoring. So, I mean, do you ditch it because it didn't work every single time, or do you just embrace it because the fans still seem to love it? And it is the 50th anniversary of the terrible towel. And I happened to actually work with Myron Cope back in the day who created it. And they still use it. So to your point, Mark, I think Renegade's good for another run for a while.
I don't think. Years. Yeah, I don't think there's many. I could be totally wrong. And maybe I'm being a yinzer about
this. I think some are tired of it.
Yeah, and that's okay. But you know what? We can focus from terrible towel to Renegade to holy water.
Hey, so you have any backstory on that, Larry?
You know, I saw the priest, I swear to you, 6:45, well before kickoff. And I'm observing what's going on in the field. And I look down, actually grab my spotter's binoculars. And I said, there's a priest putting holy water on the field, and he was in the end zone. And I thought to myself, I've never seen this before, but apparently it has happened before, I think every game, but it's from the priest standpoint, it's to keep the players safe, as you know. But it's become legendary because a camera crew member with the network obviously took the video of this. And when the miss happened at the last second of the game, somebody, some producer was smart enough to go, what was the difference? What happened? What happened here? Oh, the priest was spreading holy water. So they brought it up and it went viral. Now, Father Max, who's from St. Vincent, he's a prior, and I don't think he wants to talk about it.
he better be back out there on Monday night.
Because I tried to reach out to him and they respectfully declined. However, I did talk to Pittsburgh's new mayor earlier in the week, Corey O'Connor, whose brother is a Catholic priest. And I said, Corey, do you have any insight on spreading holy water at Acrisure? He just started laughing. He goes, you'll have to ask my brother.
I thought it was great yesterday at his inauguration. Corey took a shot at the Ravens. I mean, this is just,
well,
is classic.
You see what the Ravens mayor did? He used a terrible towel to wipe his rear end.
What?
You didn't see that?
No.
Like a couple days ago. Oh. Yes.
That well, well.
You don't screw with the towel. You do not screw with the towel.
So it might not have been the terrible towel 50th anniversary to the date almost. But him doing that, we've seen what happened. Remember Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Remember what happened to the Bengals. Remember what happened to many teams. So you can blame the miss on that disrespect from the mayor of Baltimore.
That and the holy water definitely helped. Hold on. I asked you your four songs, and you gave me Zeppelin. And you didn't give me the other three.
When you said pump-up songs, AC/DC Thunderstruck is one. Ozzy. I'm trying to think of another.
No Ozzy?
Crazy Train?
Crazy Train, yes. Ozzy. That always works. And then there's one more that...
The kickoff song, where they go... What was it? Every kickoff they play that goofy song. It just goes on and on and on. I forget what the name of it is.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I actually, you know, you're in an environment and you pick and choose what you hear and see.
Yeah.
You have to stay focused.
Be dialed in.
You have to be. I think my friends think you sit up in that booth with a 22-ounce beer and a program. It's a little more...
A little
intense.
More involved in that. Yeah.
Yeah. You kind of have to pay attention. Otherwise, you go sideways.
Yeah. You never did. It's third down. And they're like, oh, shoot. No, it's not. It's first down.
One time.
14 years. I said the opposite, not the third down. It was the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's another Pittsburgh Steelers.
First down.
So it was first down. And there was a pass, and I was certain I saw it was close to the first down marker on the sideline. And I thought I saw the ref, you know, move the sticks. And I said, that's a Pittsburgh Steeler. And Chris tapped me on the shoulder and said, second down. And I went, second down. And the fans all got a chuckle. I was so embarrassed. I turned red. But the fans kind of let me off the hook because they all kind of chuckled. Because we all knew what happened. And then on the next play, I'm like, please get a first down. And they did. And then I said, that's a Pittsburgh Steelers first down. And the crowd was looking like, where is that guy?
He got it right this time. Good for him. So tell us about, you mentioned Frank Caliendo. When does that episode of Offset with Larry and the Big Man drop? Because I got to see Caliendo's impressions here.
Yeah, we're going to drop that this Friday. And then what we're trying to do is stockpile a couple. Mike Ruzioni, we already put out, but we'll bring him around when we get ready for the Olympics. And he was fascinating. I mean, the backstories after all these years that really only one guy can tell the story. Although it was funny because Pierre LaRouche, who still lives in Pittsburgh, was 18, French Canadian. He was the famous French guy before Mario, yeah. And he was this terrific rookie. And he said, I did all this stuff. I went on to win a Stanley Cup with Montreal. And he goes, Mike, You got one goal, and everybody loves you. Everybody remembers everything about it. And Mike Ruzzioni is so gracious about it because he could have played in the NHL, but he decided not to. So he spent a career, you know, actually helping teammates that have struggled or along the way. He's really just a good guy from Boston.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, just to talk about Jay real quick, I loved his work on TV. I think he was one of the best people to be able to break down hockey I've ever seen. What's it like working with that guy?
The big man.
Oh, yeah.
So I actually met him when we played these charity games. They had former Penguins like Jay, Joey Mullen. I mean, the list. We played with Jack Lambert for almost 10 years. And then we had TV and radio guys that could skate mix in. And then Jay trained Mario for his secret comeback. And when I found out about it, you know, we had him on. When Mario came back, then Jay, you know, it was kind of revealed Jay was orchestrating his training. And Jay's a tough customer. There isn't, and you guys both know him, a kinder, gentler person, more professional than Jay, unless you put your stick up under his chin. It's coming. So yeah. It's great working with Jay because he really certainly knows his hockey and his passion. And he's a sports fan, and he's lived here long enough. You know, we're bringing part of the team that brought the first two Stanley Cups. He's definitely a Yinzer now.
Yeah, he's Pittsburgh through and through. Before we let you run, Larry, I mean, we got to ask you for a prediction for Monday night. I mean, come on. How's this thing go down? Are you good? What I love the most, I think, about all the clips I saw from guys down on the field right at the very end of the game after Loop missed the field goal is I could hear you in the background. And I hear as soon as that thing goes through the uprights, I hear you announce the Pittsburgh Steelers win 26-24. We'll see you next Monday night against the Houston Texans. I was like, man, Larry's just up there feeling it right now. No, Everybody's down on the field celebrating.
No, he just wanted to get out of there and get home, beat the traffic. Let me get out of there.
I'll tell you, that's the payoff for all of us that do anything in this business is, yeah, I know it's your jobs as, you know, Mark and Chris, the work you do in the sports world, that is your job. And you have a job in bringing stories and trying to be unique about the stories you bring. But there's a part of us that are fans too. And in those moments where you can kind of just embrace it and enjoy it with everybody else. And for me, it's because I know how hard that crew works in that scoreboard room. And to pay off their good work with the fans, with the team, yeah, I'm not going to lie. That was a moment. And for me to get to announce their AFC North champs was special. And that's really a moment that I'll never forget.
All right, Larry, do they win? What's the score? And do we get another home game?
The Steelers will beat the Texans.
Yes.
On Monday night. Whether we get another home game, that I don't know. It's possible, as we mentioned.
Does Father Max have friends in other cities that we can send to bless other fields for certain outcomes?
Maybe we should bring a couple of priests and share them around the league with the teams we want to win.
Send somebody to Jacksonville, maybe.
Not a good idea. Line. Yeah, I just got a feeling, obviously, Houston's red hot. 9 in a row. They're due for a stumble. Aaron Rodgers, he's the guy that they'll figure it out. They're going to do shorter passes, I think. Gainwell and Warren are both players. And if they can control the football and get some traction, surprise, I think the Steelers' defense gets it together. They won't allow the Zay Flowers wide-open touchdown passes this time. I think Steelers win.
I love it. Larry, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate you doing it. Looking forward to, obviously, like I said, being a part of the One Team Media family with you and Jay and Christian Kuntz and everybody else. I know there are things cooking. So we appreciate you taking the time, man. And we'll be listening for you Monday night.
Welcome to Acrisure Stadium. And now, on behalf of Cabali and Mac, thank you for attending.
Just sneak that in at the end. We'll see you soon, man. Thanks again.
All right, guys. There. See you.
Steelers PA announcer, wow. Larry Richard, of course, host of the KDKA Morning Radio News. And
so you made him stay longer? What?
All around general, great Pittsburgh guy. I didn't make him stay. He was here with us for 20 minutes.
No. He could have been home. What time's his show run?
Oh, I didn't tell him when and where to do it. I just said, let me know if you can do it at 11 o'clock on Wednesday. And he said yes, because he's a gem of a human being. So...
We didn't even ask him about his Ireland trip, where he was able to go over there and do that. Huh?
We'll talk to him again. We're compadres. We'll catch up with him soon. Thanks. Speaking of another good friend of ours, thanks to Arch for supporting the show as well. Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. And look, if you don't get to go to the game on Monday night,
get
the next
there early
is Archie's. 80-cent wing nights Monday through Thursday. We may have to cook up a little Cabali and Mac anniversary celebration soon, since we're coming up on 1 year doing the show. Maybe we could do it as, like, if the Steelers beat the Texans, we have a little celebratory thing down there.
Big trivia night down at Arches tonight. But if you're going to go there Monday, you might want to camp out. It's going to be packed with Stiller fans and wings and icy lights. My goodness, I wish I could go there instead of the game. I would choose. If I had a choice, I'd probably go to Archie's over the game.
If you didn't have to work?
Yeah.
Really?
Wouldn't
That's you? Not Man. A bad idea. I mean, look, the food is great. You got a bar stool, hopefully, and you got the game right in front of you.
That's why you go to Arch.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get much better than that. So, yeah, get down there, get some wings, get a nice cold iron or IC light any night of the week, but definitely Monday would be a perfect opportunity.
City.
We appreciate him supporting the show. So, Friday, we'll come back, we'll preview the show. We'll give you all weekend to consume that and get ready for the Monday night game against the Texans. You know, we're not doing predictions yet. It's too early in the week, but just first impressions, Kaboom. How are you feeling going into this one?
Well, my stomach's starting to feel a little better. So.
Well, that's good. Not what I was asking about, but I meant the game. Yeah.
Oh, let's see what they look like. Let's see what they feel like. I mean, the problem is we go to such extremes as fan bases. You know, if Luke makes a kick. We're firing Tomlin, blowing it up, Rooney's fire, blah, 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 blah. The kick goes wide right, and now they have a good chance to beat the Texans. And, hey, you don't want to play the Steelers in the playoffs. It's just crazy. I think we do have to keep it in perspective that this team is a team that's been inconsistent for the entire season.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a little less over the past month or so. I'm still a little worried about that, the inconsistency where that just comes up and bites you in the ass here when you're least expecting it. And I think this week would be very least expecting biting you in the ass. So I think it's going to be a good game, obviously. But I'm just back of my mind, man. I just think of Chicago. I think of Buffalo. I think of Cincinnati. I think of Cleveland. I don't dwell on it, but I think about it.
Yeah, I think it's a race to 23. That's what it is, I think. First team to get to 23 probably wins. You got two defenses that I think are going to get after the opposing quarterback. Whichever team does a better job of keeping their quarterback clean and giving them just an extra half second here and there to complete a ball, I think they're – and look, the Steelers are just a better running team. I know they haven't shown it all the time this year. They're a better running offense than the Texans. I think if they can scratch out some yards on the ground, at least first impression is, I think the Steelers, especially the other thing, you take a Texans team with a young quarterback, a fair amount of inexperience, you put them on the road, cold weather. Look, I know that doesn't mean a lot, but it's just that little extra something, maybe.
Yeah, Stroud's only played in four playoff games, 2-2. He's one of the more experienced quarterbacks in these AFC playoffs. It goes Rodgers, Allen, then I think Stroud after that. It's not very deep when it comes to experience, but he's been there, done that a little bit. I don't even know. They've pretty much played – both their wins coming home, I believe, right?
I think you're right, yeah. I don't think they've won a playoff game
on the road. They're going to have to come out here. They whipped them the last time they played them. It's a different team, obviously. I just think – I find it hard to believe that the Texans are going to put up a ton of points. That's it.
Same, yeah.
So if the Steelers can get the offense rolling, and it seems like to me – even though that first half was a little bit iffy, when Arthur Smith starts filling it or Aaron Rodgers starts taking that and manipulating the calls, and you throw DK in there and you're using Freiermuth a little bit more, you have to like your chances, but it's still a toss of the coin to me.
We'll get into it more on Friday. Oh, I did want to mention – because Justin, don't call me Justine, mentioned it in the comments on YouTube. Monday Night Raw, did you watch?
It was. Am I going to have to say this and not be a dick? It was a hard watch because I'm a freaking hate Stranger Things or whatever the hell that thing's called.
I mean, it didn't really have much to do with what was actually going on.
I understand why they did. I understand the new audience, but it just annoyed me because I had no idea what the hell it meant.
I don't think it meant anything. It was just brand integration, as they say.
I think it took away from it a little bit. But
I thought the main event was awesome. I know there was a couple missed spots in there, a couple botches maybe, but I thought they kept the energy up, and it was a really good match.
Bex got her title back, which who knows?
Insightful, thank you.
Well, I'm just looking at the text message I got.
I thought you said, you literally said right before we started the show, okay.
I shut it off, popping up. When the great Phil Maines keeps texting you, you look at it.
Oh, Phil. Phil has
he's a big Stranger Things guy.
See, I've never watched a second of it either. I'm not against it necessarily. Like, it didn't bother me that it was a part of Raw, but it wasn't really, wasn't really distracting for me. Justin also mentioned that you never commented on Austin Theory being added to the Vision.
It's a failure waiting to happen. I just hope there's more to it.
Why is it a failure?
He's a mid-carder, dude. He's been a mid-carder his entire life. What changes now? Because he cut his hair. I mean, you ever see him?
Anti-Austin Theory vibes.
I just hope there's more to it. I mean, Jericho's supposed to be coming back, right? People thought that was going to be Monday. People thought Seth might show up on Monday. I can't wait for Jericho.
Jericho going to add at this point?
Jericho is first ballot Hall of Famer. By the way,
he is.
I mentioned this the other day. Can we start this? Well, apparently he lost a lot of weight and got in a lot of shape. But can we start this upswell of having the great Haku, the great Ming inducted into the Hall of Fame this year?
Only if you promise to find a better photo of him and tweet it out than the one you did the other day. Man, it was literally like
you talk about a guy.
It was like looking at Minecraft.
I hit Haku and I saw a picture and I hit whatever.
Anyway,
and I hit post. What the hell you want me to do about it?
Find a better picture.
I ain't that interested in the quality.
Then you're not all that interested in Haku actually becoming Hall of Famer.
What's that picture you posted? It was kind of crappy too. He posted something. It was really bad, too.
I photoshopped Aaron Rodgers walking on the beach in Malibu into the beach at Se Wataneo from the end of Shawshank.
Yeah, and it really looked like it. I did Gronk the other day or something. Did you see that one?
No.
I posted where it looks like Joe Rutter went up to him and gave him a high five, and they just started laughing. somebody said, that's not him. That didn't happen. I'm like, no, crap, it didn't happen. I didn't even, right. I'm just hitting buttons on Gronk. I'm like, oh, this looks funny. I had no idea what I was doing.
Not the first time, won't be the last time. All right, Friday, we will come back and preview the game for you ahead of the Monday night wild card game against the Texans. Take care of yourselves. And thanks to everybody for supporting the show. Make sure you're following on social media, Kabali and Mac. And, of course, subscribed on YouTube. Turn on the notifications so you don't miss anything. Thanks again to Larry Richard for joining us. Don't forget to check out their episode of Larry and the Big Man, him and Jay Caulfield, on YouTube. Frank Caliendo as their guest this week. That'll be dropping Caliendo. In a couple days.
I went to his show maybe 6-7 years ago.
He's hilarious.
Homestead. What was that called? Improv.
Yeah.
I went there before.
Hilarious. So I'm looking forward to that. Thanks to One Team Media as well, as we're now a part of the family. We appreciate it. And we'll talk to you again on Friday. Take care of yourselves. See ya. Bye.